This is Jay Nimmer, you're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenlist, and I'm continuing to talk about what I'd like to see in my next server. You know, it's probably a interesting method of doing what's called a content management system. I used to use Zope, which meant it was almost completely web-based, and it was pretty, Zope is cool. I enjoyed it. I did a little light programming in Zope's DTML, and I liked it. My problem has consistently been that when I've done these sorts of things, I get the capability, and then I have to start thinking about, well, what am I going to do with this? I kind of approach it backwards, I think. First, I need to figure out what I want to do, and then I'll go forward with how I want to do it. Now, I finally came up with that a little while ago. If you've listened a couple of MP3s ago, I came up with something that I like. It's called, you know, for lack of a better word, it's Zenlist. It is raising we don't really have a term for it. You could call it geekiness. You could call it nerdiness. Up to the level of being a culture, being something that's respected and honored rather than something that tends to be looked at askance. I won't go into the specifics. Go back a couple of MP3s ago. I think it comes down to, and I guess we'll call this one hacker culture. People get weird when you talk about hackers. It's been used because these are the people who have the capability to break into other systems and to do funny things. Now, you know, either steal or not do anything, just kind of explore them. That was pretty much the original definition of a hacker was somebody who would use whatever tool was to hand, whatever they could pull together to make something happen. It was usually for free. It was usually something you could come up with readily available parts, as opposed to using something expensive, specialized, and made just for that purpose. The whole hacker culture was people like that who said, you know, this is the way we operate. You use Linux because it's free. You use Perl because it's pretty accessible, or C++. I would probably go for C more because I'm not that big into object-oriented stuff because I don't, you know, I see its value as being limited compared to the kind of garbage you have to go through to make it work, the kind of hoops you have to leap through. And I've never, although I've tried and I've got books on the subject of object-oriented programming, it's never really saying to me. So I tend to wander off more in the Perl area, although Perl does object-oriented too now. Everything kind of goes that way. Although you don't have to use it, it's there if you want to, and a lot of people do. It's not just with computers. Computers tend to be the big hacking things. My hacking now has been more philosophical, been more cultural, societal than it has been in computers. Am I a hacker? Yes. Well, it's always a question of, are you really you shouldn't call yourself a hacker until other people call you that. And, you know what? I don't have time to sit here and try to give people things. You know, Kim Komando calls herself the digital goddess. I don't remember anybody coming up and starting to worship her when she came up with that. She came up with the title. She started using it There it is. Maybe somebody else gave it to her one day because, oh, you're my digital goddess. And she started using that title. Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and use the hacker term. I've always been a hacker. I've been a hacker since, oh, before when? Always coming up with different ways of doing things. Most of the people that I respect were hacker types. They might have gone, you don't want to say legitimate, because that implies that everything that hackers do is illegitimate. You might not say it's the most elegant solution. I love an elegant solution, though. If I can come up with an elegant solution, I'll take it over a hack job anytime I want to. And that's really where hacker comes from. It comes from the whole term hack, as in a hack job. Making something work. It might not look pretty. It might not be the most wonderful hunk of equipment, hunk of code, hunk of anything that you've ever seen, but it works. And that's the important thing. Hackers like the fact that it works. I get what's called the hacker fax. It hasn't changed in quite a while because the big fight over making sure that when you say hacker, it's a positive thing, as opposed to a cracker, which is somebody who breaks into computers and does illegal things. It's kind of fallen out of favor again because people didn't accept the whole hacker as a white hat, you know, as a good guy sort of a thing. It didn't go over very good. It already established itself in the culture as hacker's bad guy. But I am a hacker. I don't break into your system and I don't do nasty things because that's illegal. I've got a set of ethics and I don't do that, you know? Anyway, so, and I could tell you about some of the hacks I've done some recently. The phone system at work. I had a hack on there and it was working really well. It only worked for a couple of months. So when I looked at it, I looked at the design of it and I said, you know what, this probably won't work long term. So I went out and I bought a piece of something else and I put together and I hacked together something else, this time in software instead of in hardware. Just to make it so that it would work. Marvelous solution though. It seems to be working really well. Everybody seems to be very, very happy with it. So that's kind of where my computer server idea has kind of morphed. From that whole thing, you know, can I make this stuff happen? I really like the whole email as the control process. I like that because email, by its nature, you can put a lot of filtering on it. You can put security on it so that people can't just immediately break into it. You can alter that email message, you can store it in different forms so that it's more useful to people. I like Perl. I like Perl right now. Number one, it's very, very established. Number two, it tends, you know, you can approach something five different ways. And I find myself struggling often with solutions to problems where it's like, we have to learn a new programming language, and you're going to have to behave the way that programming language wants you to behave. Perl doesn't make you do that. Perl is very much, there's 7 or 8 different ways of doing it, and we're not gonna dictate how it's done. It's not minimalistic or elegant at all. It's hacker stuff. And that's what I like about it. I just went through some construction. That's why there was that pause there, because I had to wave at the guy. They finally let us through. And, well, here I am. Anyway, I think Perl is really the hacker programming language, you know? I think you can take a Perl script and you can turn it into C, and then that C program can then be turned into something else. Although, why do that? Just continue using Perl. You know, is it fast? No. But who cares? You've got a process that's so freaking fast. What difference does it make? Anyway, so and Perl has enough of the feel and the flavor of like basic programming, which is what I used to do. I used to program in basic. I started using this programming language called Euphoria, which is actually kind of has its roots in C, and I really enjoyed that. It had some data constructs that I just loved. It was just a freaking kick in the pants. I love a groovy data construct. They had what were called atoms and sequences. And it was just so good. You could blow this thing up to huge proportions. It was just a great way. You could set up a system for storing data that could be very dynamic. And that's the one thing I think about Euphoria that was so cool about it, was this whole thing. I had started writing my own programming language, and its one thing was that it only stored one variable. And that's really true. When it gets right down to it, that's what most computers end up doing. How they abstract that out for the programmer's benefit is nobody's, you know, is up to the people writing the programming language. The basic idea was everything is just tends to be one variable, and it's just kind of a chewing down of that variable into smaller and smaller parts until you actually get to the data that you want. And you can do it in a B-tree sort of way, where it splits off, you know, is it this or is it that, and you keep going down in that. And all the different kind of constructs we've come up with in order to store data and to make it efficient so we can efficiently get back to the data that we stored away. Anyway, so I'm thinking that Perl would probably be the best. I'm not planning on sharing this piece of software particularly. I'm not going to put it out there and make it so that people go, oh, I want that so much. You know, I would really like all the configuration to be very much handled through email too. I don't want to have to break into the system any other way. I would like my server to be able to be talked to strictly through the email server, period. That way, you know, it automatically logs itself. It automatically keeps that. People are used to that. It can be compressed up and put into an archive. You know, most email clients do that. We're taking into account that we've got some nice email clients out there, and that as much as possible, we want email clients as they are without any real jerry-rigging to be able to fill a great need. You know, if you want to go back to an old configuration, all you have to do is edit an email message, an old email message, and you're back to the old configuration. I like that. You could just resend an old version of your thing, and all of a sudden, bloop, it's done. Your old configuration's back. I might even try programming through the email interface. That's kind of dangerous for the simple reason that then they have the power to start running your computer. We'd have to put some more security on it so that people wouldn't just be able to do that. But see, there's a whole lot of ways that you can handle that. An SMTP server, by its nature, is going to bring in every single thing that, every single email that comes to that domain. And that's pretty much simply what I do, based on what, what the email address is, you know, whatever@quix.us would be what interface you're trying to lock into, you know, or you could make it a variable thing so that that even provides more security. You wouldn't know under most circumstances what email address even to send to wake up the computer's ability to accept commands. You wouldn't necessarily know how to do that. It doesn't matter. We want to keep it that way, and I wouldn't publish it particularly. You know, this is mostly for me, and if I ever find friends, which is kind of what the whole Zenilith thing is all about, is to find common people. I'd have to say most of my common people are hackers. Zenilists. Maybe we should just go back and call them hackers. Because they are essentially different people. I like to think of them as proto-autistic. And they probably are. I think if they were to look deeper into their lives and say, you know what, I do have these tendencies, they'd say, yeah, I'm a hacker. So that makes my son, Matt, a hacker with some disabilities. You know, hackers, I'm almost wanting to raise them to either a race or an ethnicity because we found biological differences between different ethnicities, you know, blacks. Blacks isn't an ethnicity, it's a race. See, I don't know where we get our different things from. Hispanic is an ethnicity. And they have different things. They tend to have different physical problems than Caucasians do, the Caucasian race, or those who don't have kind of the whatever. We're trying to come up with some kind of distinction that says, you know what, there are some almost genetic predispositions for being a hacker. As opposed, you know, I don't really like the term geek because geeks usually, I go out and I buy cool little toys and I like playing with cool little toys. That's only one aspect of that possibility there, but it's usually not the sole one. Anyway. So, there it is. Hacker Central. Actually, what I kind of want to do. Find that peer group. It's still there for those kind of people. Not just for computer type hackers, but for societal hackers, for cultural hackers. People who say, I see what this we could, with this and this and this, we can do something different that's better. At least for us. And that's what that's really there for. Maybe that's what I'm really looking at. It says, Jay's a hacker, man! And you go, yeah, I guess Jay is a hacker. Go figure. Anyway, here I am. Welcome back. Whoa! I'm just about to the place where I'm supposed to be. Whoop! And, get to work on people's troubles. See how it's gonna work out. I'm gonna have to go here pretty soon, but it's about time anyway. This is Jay Nevro. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Gentleness, a never-ending string of MP3 files. If you want to know more, go to quix.us. Have a great day.